To him who loved us and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God and Father, to him be glory, honor, wisdom, and dominion now and forever. Amen. The word of God for meditation is found written in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 8. St. Paul writes, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good. Pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle, I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. So far the text. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow citizens of America, dear fellow citizens of God's eternal kingdom, one of the items in the news, in addition, of course, to the pandemic that we have been experiencing and the measures that are being taken to keep people safe and healthy, is the upcoming presidential election, which is now only 4 months away. The question many Americans have on their minds is, which candidate possesses the qualifications, the energy, the political savvy and skill to lead our nation into the future? Which of them espouses programs and is running on a platform that's best for solving America's problems and helping our citizenry to rebound from the economic downturn caused by the COVID pandemic? It's, of course, not our intention, nor would it be proper for us to endorse a particular candidate or encourage you how you should vote come November 3rd, but rather on this Independence Day holiday weekend, we want to be encouraged as Christian citizens to pray for good government, for all those who occupy positions of authority in the state, locally, statewide, and the federal government, and for countries all over the world, for that matter, so that we as Christians may lead lives to God's glory in peace and safety, and so that many more souls may learn to know God's saving truth in Jesus. Now, as children of the Heavenly Father, we of course know, very pleasing to the Lord, when we come before Him, before His throne of grace, asking Him to do things for us. Hymn writer put it very nicely when he said, you're coming to a king, large petitions with you bring, for His grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Lord our God loves it when we, with confidence born of faith, exercise the great privilege that He's given us as His children, as part of the priesthood of all believers, to storm the throne of grace in prayer. Remember how Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount, ask, it'll be given you, seek, you'll find, knock, it'll be opened to you. Peter writes in his first letter, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears open to their prayers. Paul wrote in his first letter to Timothy, or no, it's in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing but by everything, with prayer and petition, let your requests be known to God. And here in our text we read, in the letter of Paul, his first letter to Timothy, I want men, people everywhere, referring to Christians everywhere, to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. And what kind of things does the Lord want us to pray about and for? In his word, he reveals to us that it's his will that we pray, of course, for especially priceless spiritual blessings like forgiveness for our sins in Jesus, strengthening for our faith, guidance for our lives as his redeemed people through the lamp of his word. He wants us to pray also for all those daily bread items that we need for our earthly lives, all those items enumerated by Martin Luther, if you know the fourth petition to the Lord's Prayer, his explanation, where Luther says, daily bread is food, clothes, money, goods, a godly spouse, devout children, good health, good weather, and things like that. But we want to especially note this morning how Paul in our text, Luther also included it in his list of things in the fourth petition, daily bread, good government, peace, law and order. Paul puts it like this in our text, I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for kings and for those in authority. So we're to pray as Christians for those who occupy positions of responsibility in the state so that they may govern a way that justice prevails, faithfully administered, law and order is upheld, and societal peace is preserved. And why did Paul write to Timothy? Encouraging him to encourage the people he served. He was a young pastor, the people in his congregation, their congregations, to pray for their government leaders. Remember, the government that was in power at the time was Rome, and the head of the state was Nero, the godless, tyrannical king who murdered his own mother, who ordered the citizens of the empire to pay homage to him as God, and who is said to have seized Christians as scapegoats for the great fire of Rome that took place in AD 64 and burned down large parts of the city of Rome. So he arrested Christians for this falsely and brutally executed them by having them crucified, thrown to the beasts, and burned alive. The point we're making is that the Christians of the first century indeed suffered terrible things at the hands of the secular rulers who were in power, and we can see, therefore, why Paul encouraged them to pray that those in authority might govern in a way so that they could lead Christian lives in peace and in safety. And what about us today? It's important, too, that we include that item among the things we ask the Lord to give us as part of our daily bread. We are not faced with the same kinds of persecution that the early Christians faced. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guarantees that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. So we don't have to be afraid of being hauled off to prison or thrown into a stadium filled with man-eating lions. We are indeed faced with persecutions of a different kind, of more subtle form, maybe not so subtle now these days. Consider the internet and YouTube videos that promote godless ideas that contradict the Bible and that are indoctrinating, the devil using it to indoctrinate the minds and hearts of citizens that the Bible is an obsolete book, faulty, unreliable, for getting guidance with regard to religious truth. Those in the academic community, university professors, many of them, doctors of science, history, biology, anthropology, sociology, archaeology, and many other ologies in the public education system of our land who are advocating and are proponents of the theory of evolution, that we human beings are descendants of apes, accidents of nature. Sadly, also, many in the religious community who, on the basis of so-called critical scholarship, reject the divine authority of the Bible. And even the trend is in the Lutheran Church. In fact, it's been that way for quite a long time already. To move the laity away from the historic Lutheran faith based on the sacred scriptures into a new way of modern, progressive thinking that the Bible contains myths, that Jesus is not the one and only way to heaven. And it doesn't really matter what belief system you adopt, so long as your beliefs are sincere. And then in the end, all will be well with you. What are they saying except that those who hold to the doctrines of Holy Scripture, the Bible as their lamp and light for their path, are fools? It's a form of persecution. It's true our government hasn't taken an official stand against the Christian religion as Rome did in Paul's day. As mentioned, our U.S. Constitution guarantees us the right to believe as we please and assemble here for worship at church. But it's getting harder, isn't it, to be a Bible-believing, Christ-confessing Christian who trusts Jesus as our one Redeemer from sin and death, who considers Scripture the authoritative guide in matters of faith and life. Believe that the Bible says what marriage is, what constitutes marriage, the lifelong union of one man and one woman living together as husband and wife, and that all human life is sacred, including the life of the unborn. The ideas of godless people who have fashioned a God according to how they would like him to be are being weaved more and more into the fabric of our society, and those committed to the Bible and to Christ as their Savior are viewed more and more, as in the days of Nero, as hateful people and as a blight on the society, instead of, as Jesus says, as the salt and the light of the world. So we can see, can't we, dear friends, why it's very important for us to pray for our country and for our government leaders, that they may be elected into office under God's guidance, who have good and wholesome ideas for governing, that we may believe and worship the Lord as we please and live our lives in peace and safety according to God's will as revealed in the sacred scriptures. And to what end? We want to note in the second place the wonderful overarching purpose and reason why Paul encourages us to pray for good government. Not as an end in itself, not simply so that we may be blessed with a comfortable life here on earth, trouble-free, no conflicts, no looting, no arson, no coarse outbreaks of violence on our streets for a few years, but for this main purpose, As Paul says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. In other words, so that the precious gospel might be spread unhindered for the eternal blessing of souls. Where a government is corrupt, where disciples of Jesus are under threat of persecution, they can't spread the gospel as easily as they otherwise might. Christians in the days of Paul, you probably know from church history, they had to worship in secret. They had to hold their church services in catacombs, underground passageways, cemeteries, so the general public, and so that especially the Roman authorities would not be aware of what they were doing. It's at this time, as I understand it, they also then created an acrostic from the letters of the Greek word for fish, ichthys. You've probably heard that story from history. The Greek word for ichthys, the letters, you can use them to symbolize Jesus Christos Theou Huias Soter, the letters of the Greek word for fish. Meaning in English, Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Savior. And they use that fish symbol to identify one another in a secret way as a kind of password so as not to arouse suspicion among their friends and neighbors who might report them to the Roman government. I also was reading last week about how they, one of the things that they did was if they met a stranger, they would draw the top of the fish in an arc. And if they didn't know what you were doing, you know they didn't believe in Jesus. But if they put like that, that's a Christian. I'm safe. We can visit together. Now the word of the Lord did grow mightily and it did prevail under the Spirit's blessing as we learn from the book of Acts. But it was hard. And that's why Paul encouraged them to pray for the secular authorities so that the gospel might have free course, that nothing would hinder it from being preached for the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, the Christians, and that many others might also be blessed to hear it, believe, and be saved. So let us then remember to include our government in our regular prayers to the Lord, in our daily petitions. Let's ask the Lord to guide and bless those elected to positions of power in our land and elsewhere, so that they may govern in wisdom and righteousness according to God's holy will, so that we may live Christian lives without fear, and that many through our gospel witness, serving as a salt and as a light in the world, many more may come to know the truth that makes them really free in pardon for their sins in Christ, in knowing that their sins are forgiven, they have peace with God, and they have as an inheritance eternal life with their Lord when they reach finally the heavenly country, the heavenly homeland with Him above. Amen.